All right, so today we are going to be in the book of Ephesians. So if you have your Bibles out, and I hope you would, or you could follow along on the Bible app, or you go to columbiagrove.org/message notes, or get to columbiagrove.org, swipe right once and you just can't miss it. But I want you to follow along as we are in Ephesians chapter 6 and looking at this famous passage about the armor of God. I've just been so looking forward to teaching on this because I just realized just how much we actually need it. Because I don't, who here, when you wake up in the morning, you are just naturally in a good mood? Let me see. Okay, some, I don't entirely understand you. That's good. Occasionally, I will wake up in a good mood. Occasionally. But see, here's the thing that I've noticed is for my own soul, my default setting is not good. When I wake up, you know, in the morning, you know, before a cup of coffee, before any of those kind of things, it is amazing. Like I get kind of discouraged sometimes with, honestly, the condition of my own heart. My default setting tends to have a fairly small world. My default setting tends to lack gratitude. My default setting tends to lack faith. My default setting doesn't naturally, you know, gravitate towards prayer. It's just like, I mean, I've been walking with Jesus for 35, you know, plus years, and I need to get saved every morning. Can you, anybody relate to that? Like, I just need Jesus every morning because, like, my heart is a train wreck. And I don't naturally go to the kinds of values that I would long to have. And the problem is that, I mean, for me, that just means I just need to get into the Word. I need to get into prayer. I need to reset my heart every single morning. Or the default setting of my heart will just pull me into all these things and all these thoughts and places that I would never want to go. And bitterness and depression and ingratitude. And like, the world gets... Can you relate to that? I get just get discouraged. I'm like, shouldn't it be like when you've been following Jesus for a while that this part would just get easier? Wouldn't that be great? Except for it doesn't usually work like that. Now, I would tell you 1,000 times over that the decision to follow Jesus has made my life better. But it has not made life easier. Because every single day, I find myself in a struggle against my own soul. Anybody relate to that? I find in a struggle against my own soul. And one of the reasons, one among thousands of reasons why I just love the Word of God is it helps me to understand some aspect of that struggle. It helps me to understand that you know, each morning I am doing battle against the flesh. I'm doing battle against all the old parts of me that are not yet, you know, fully redeemed by Christ. There is this ongoing battle, this ongoing struggle, and that there are also forces around me that are causing some of that struggle as well. And that's why today, as we go into Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be looking at this topic of spiritual warfare. There are forces inside you and inside me, forces around you and around me that are trying to thwart our walk with Jesus, that are trying to get you to turn inward, turn back to that default self, that selfish self, that self where the world is very small. You know, that self that gravitates towards ingratitude, that self that gravitates towards bitterness, that self that gravitates towards woe is me, that self that is, even though, I mean, if you're like me, you're surrounded with some amazing people. I mean, my family is awesome. We've got a great house. My wife is just insanely amazing. My kids are, and yet, if my head isn't in the right space, if I haven't remembered to, like we're looking at today, put on the full armor of God, I can be looking at all of these blessings and literally not see them. So the stakes are really high. So do you ever feel that struggle? That struggle? You know, I'm reminded, who's ever been up to Slide Waters? Like you've gone to like the water parks? Now, in my younger days, I loved to do, you know, all of the slides and the rides, and I still like to do some of those things. But you know, my favorite ride right now is the Lazy River. Who likes the Lazy River? Oh yeah, like that is like a perfect, or just, you know, floating down the river. You know how when you're floating in the Lazy River, it's just relaxing, everything's easy, until you try to stand up in the Lazy River, right? And then you start to feel the resistance. You realize this lazy river isn't so lazy. It's moving somewhere. And that's what's going on spiritually in the world around us. That when we're just going with the flow, you know, and we live in a culture that says live for self, keep your world small, you can just live on that lazy river. But the moment you stand up and start to say, I'm going to live for Jesus. My family is going to follow Christ. I'm going to surrender my life and my heart to Him. I want Him to change me from the inside out. It's like you're standing up against the flow of that lazy river and you realize the river is not so lazy after all. We start to feel the struggle. We start to feel the resistance. And so as we pick up God's word in Ephesians chapter 6, this is towards right the end of the book. So, you know, Paul has been telling the church in Ephesus about grace and how amazing it is that Jesus has saved us. You know, how He has redeemed us on the cross, how it's by grace you've been saved through faith and this not of yourselves, and how much we desperately need it, that all of us are by nature deserving of wrath. You and I, we deserve hell. And on our own, in default setting, in the Andrew pre-coffee, pre-prayer, every morning, if I was left in that state for the rest of my life, apart from Jesus, I'm on the road to destruction. So the book of Ephesians is all about grace. Grace that we need to understand and know, and then grace that we need to start to live out. So what does it mean to be kind and compassionate to one another, to forgive one another just as in Christ God has forgiven you? What does it mean to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ? We've been talking about that. And then it gets to the end of the book in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 20 today. And Paul instructs the church, and I believe he's telling us today as well, to, you know, with words that help us to understand why sometimes it can be so very, very difficult to follow Jesus because there is spiritual resistance. And so one thing I want to remind you of today is that when it comes to the war around you, the spiritual war around you, is that to be ignorant is to be vulnerable. God wants you to know about the battles going on in the spiritual world around you so that you can stand strong against them. And that's why it's so important that we dial into God's word. It's so important that we equip ourselves with the armor of God. So that's where we're going to be going today. Now, one of the ways I've been growing in my own faith is I've been getting into longer spans of God's word, just spending extended time in the Bible and trying to actually memorize longer passages. So we're going to put the words on the screen and on the big screen up there. And I just want to read Ephesians 6 for you, or recite Ephesians 6, because as it gets to the end of the book, it's a little bit like, I at least as I hear it in my head, it's a little bit like Paul is this, he's like this football coach, and the team is getting ready to go out for the big game, and he knows that they're going to take some hits, because they're fighting against a fierce opponent, or a little bit like a general, an army, just before the big battle. And so I'm going to try to use some of that tone with you, because at least as I read Ephesians 6, it sounds like that in my mind. And so Paul tells the church in Ephesus, and through the church in Ephesus, and that amazing letter tells us, he tells us to finally, friends, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, there's our word of the day, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And having done everything, friends, to stand. Stand firm then. Therefore, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted that comes from the readiness of the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take on the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that every time I speak, that words may be given me, that I may fearlessly tell of the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. This is the word of God. Amen. Now, we're going to be walking through that passage, and to do that, I need a little bit of help, okay? Now, I need somebody who is relative, and can we light up this part over here a little bit, if we can? I need somebody who is relatively young, relatively short. That's not you. Okay. You okay? All right. Okay. All right. We're good. Okay. 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 All right. All right. So, Kayleen, you ready? Okay. Now, I also need somebody. I need congregation, help me out. I need you to find the biggest, burliest, toughest, strongest dude in the room. If that is the best you can do, we will, really? Okay, you find him. It could be Nick. He has been working out. He is a hunk of man right there. But maybe we have somebody hunkier. Who do we got? All right, okay. I need the biggest, burliest dude. Okay, now, big, burly dude, you need to put down the baby for this one. Hand over the baby. There's 1,000 grandmas, actually. Well, there's about 75 grandmas who will gladly do that. Okay. All right. Because we're going to be walking through this passage, and we can put the words up on the screen, but we're just going to go through this passage a little bit. So Paul writes to the church. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in," say it with me, "whose mighty power?" God's mighty power. So when we are standing strong against the enemy's schemes, we don't stand alone, which is why, right here behind, see, whose power do we need to lean on? Yeah, God's power. So every time we are facing evil in our life, we never face it alone. There's somebody much bigger and stronger standing behind us all the time. So put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. It's important for us to know that when we take our stand against the devil, we are taking our stand against a defeated foe. Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and having done everything to stand firm then, therefore, with the belt of truth around. So we're going to talk about belt of truth. Okay, now. All right. Okay, can you put on these pants? Have actually literally been to Afghanistan, just so you're aware. Though I should point out, even on a Halloween week, it is very difficult to actually obtain the armament of a Roman soldier here in Wenatchee. So we've done a little bit of improvising here, incorporating the handyman secret weapon. Duct tape, all right, okay, so with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, what, you got to buckle your belt, ma'am. Okay, now, for a Roman soldier, the belt would hold the weapons in place, but there's also some other important things that a belt does. What does the belt do? keeps your pants up. Now, I would love to preach on this a little bit more, but it is a children's Sunday. But just, let's just go with this. One of the first areas of your life that needs to be surrendered to Christ has to do with the belt of truth. It is very important if you are looking to follow Jesus that you remember the right times to keep your pants on. Because you don't want to be caught in a battle with your pants around your ankles, right? With the belt of truth and with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Okay, this is where we're going to pull out some duct tape things. What does a breastplate cover? Your heart, all your innards, all your stuff. This is similar. That's right. Breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So can we get you to put on some? You can kind of fake it a little bit. Okay. All right. That's good. Now, one of the things that Roman soldiers were actually known for is they had really good shoes, really thick soles with nails in the bottom. So they were able to, they were able to climb mountains. They were able to go on very, very long hikes because their feet were always secure. And its feet, I was playing with my technology here. Hang on. Right there. With the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And so for us as Christians, part of what it means to be equipping ourselves with the armor of God is to be ready to tell the gospel everywhere we go. That we are ready to share about the love of Jesus in any situation. And that we know the gospel well enough that we can tell the difference between a true gospel and a false gospel. Like, so for example, when somebody says, the way to get to heaven is by just being a really good person and doing the very best you can. Is that a true gospel or a false gospel? False. How do we get to heaven? It's through Jesus Christ. We receive the gift that he has given us by dying on the cross to pay for our sins. We receive the gift that he has given us by rising from the dead so that evil and the very power of death has been broken on our behalf. And then we live into our full identity, which involves doing good things. But the good things on their own don't save us. So we know the difference between a true gospel and a false gospel, a self-effort gospel and a Jesus power gospel. And our feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all these things, take on the, what's that? Shield of faith. Okay. Shield of faith. Okay. Huh? With which you can extinguish, you can look at the screen if you need to, all the flaming arrows of the evil one. One of the things that would happen in medieval combat, as armies would be heading out onto the field, they would be shooting a bunch of flaming arrows towards the enemy. Because not only does it have the potential of killing a few of them, but it creates great confusion. Because can you imagine just this rain of like flaming arrows coming around you? It'd be horrible, right? But it says that the shield of faith can extinguish how many of the flaming arrows? All of them. And does it just like stop them or does it? It extinguishes them, right? To extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So I need somebody evil. A lot of hands go up. That is fantastic. Your twin sister. Okay. Let's see how this works. All right. Put on the shield of faith. And let's see how it goes. All right. I think you need to do both the like. I think you need to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I need to
okay. See how this works. All right. It's working. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of the point, actually, yeah. And that's pretty good, yeah. Now, the smallest unit of a Roman army is called I'm going to have to look that up, a contubrium. Anyways, it's a group of eight. It's a group of eight soldiers working together. And I want you to think about how a shield works if you had 8 soldiers. Can I have the shield for just a moment?
Yeah.
Imagine a group of 8. Shield 1, shield 2, shield 3, shield 4, shield 5, shield 6, shield 7, shield 8. See, a group of 8 soldiers with a shield, they're like a walking tank. Nothing can get through. That was one of the secrets of the Roman army and why they were able to conquer so much. But it's also instructive for us. You see, you have a shield of faith. But your shield of faith is not designed to work all by itself. See, your shield of faith is going to defend you against some of the enemy's attacks, but that's one among many reasons why you need a posse. You need people in your life, other people who are praying for you and with you and around you, because as you get that your whole squad, your whole posse, your whole team, that shield of faith can truly extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Who's your posse? Who's your posse? Okay. Then it says, take on the helmet of what? Salvation. When the devil attacks, what is one of the first things he tries to get us to believe? The lies. About what? Yeah, and our salvation and our status before God. So what does the helmet of salvation protect? It protects our brains, protects our thought life, that we could submit all of our thoughts to Christ, like Romans 12:1, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we'd be secure in our status before God, because we know that we've been saved, and we know how we've been saved. Then, so take on the shield of faith and what's the next one? The sword of the Spirit, which is the what? The Word of God. That's why we need the Word of God in our life. All right, so you got your belt of truth, you got your breastplate of righteousness, your feet are fitted with the gospel of peace, you've got your shield that you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, you've got the helmet of salvation so you know that you're saved, you got the sword of the Spirit so you can... Kind of like that, yeah. Now, what do we do with it? What do we do with it? What's the word say? Yeah. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray. And pray. In the Spirit... In the Spirit, in all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. I want to talk about that for a moment. I think when God's Word is telling us about praying in the Spirit, what it means is as we pray in alignment with the will of God. You know how Jesus said, ask for anything in my name and it will be given to you? As we pray in the Spirit, we are praying in alignment with the things that we already know that God wants for us. So when we pray for His kingdom to come and His will to be done, is that something that we know that He wants us to pray for? When we pray for the fruit of our Spirit in our lives, for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, is that something that we know God wants us to pray for? As we pray in the Spirit, God can do incredible things. And now, this is the part of the passage that really struck me this week, because the truth is, at least for me, and maybe this is true for you as well. See, I often discount how incredibly vital and important prayer is in my life. Prayer sometimes seems like it's the easy thing to do. It's the safe thing to do. I'm going to say something just a little bit controversial here. I don't know if I was going to do this, but God's kind of getting me to make, but you know how there's some really horrible things happening in our country right now in terms of things like, you know, school violence and shootings and stuff? Horrible, horrible things happening. One of the backlashes against that is that there's a hashtag that says more than prayer. Now, it's justifiable, I think, to say, you know, we need to do more than just pray. But the problem is, I think when we talk that way, and I've heard even these phrases show up in churches sometimes, we need to do more than prayer. We're forgetting how incredibly powerful prayer is. Do you realize that if the government could regulate prayer, you would need a background check for it? If the government could regulate prayer, there would be a waiting period before you could begin to pray. Do you realize that when we pray in the Spirit in alignment with God's will for us, the things that we already know God wants to do, I mean, prayers like that literally can call down fire from heaven. It can part the seas. It can raise the dead. It can feed thousands of people with loaves and fishes. Prayer like that is incredibly powerful, incredibly important. Yes, sometimes we need to do more than prayer, but we should never, ever, ever, ever do less than prayer. And we should never, ever, ever forget how incredibly, incredibly powerful prayer is. Do you hear me, church? So we always keep on praying for all the Lord's people with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. And always keep on praying for who? All the Lord's people. You know, as we get armed with God's word in our life, as our lives are walking in step with the Spirit, your world will get larger. You'll be praying for larger circles of people. The devil wants your life to get insular. He wants it to get it small, which is why I think some of us spend a whole lot of time staring at really, really tiny things. Here, you ever walk around like a mall nowadays and everybody's just looking like this? God wants your world to be big. As you walk with Jesus, he will increasingly put a burden on your heart for all the Lord's people. And then it says, pray for me. Pray for me. That whenever I speak, words may be given me, that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it. What's the word? Fearlessly. As I should. And so I want to put a challenge out. And can we just give them a round of applause for being brave? Here's my challenge. See, God has called you and me and us to a life of daily trusting in Christ. He tells us to put on the full armor of God. And as we do, we are called to what? How do we apply the armor? It's through prayer. Through prayer. So I want to issue a challenge for you. I want us to have an adventure with Jesus this week. You up for that? An adventure with Jesus. That this week, in some way, every day, you're going to take some time to suit up. So maybe spend some time in Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the belt of truth. Jesus, I know that you are the ultimate truth in my life. To put on the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus, you are my righteousness. My status with God before you is because of what you have done for me and not what I have done for you. That your feet would be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Lord, I am looking for opportunities to share the good news with somebody somewhere this week. That you would take on the shield of faith. That you would be able to see the enemy's lies as it comes. And you would surround yourself with other people who can stand in faith with you. You would put on the helmet of salvation. Knowing where your status with God comes from. I know that I am saved. I know that Jesus died on the cross for me. And you would take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you would pray. So I'm challenging you, church, to suit up. And I'm challenging you to pray big. As we pray in the Spirit for the things that we know that God already wants for us, God can do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine. Now remember, like, let me just talk about this pray big thing here. Praying big does not mean, doesn't mean praying for things that you don't know whether or not they're the will of God. Like, you don't know whether or not God wills for you to win the lottery. So don't bother praying about that. You don't know whether or not it's God's will to change the opinions of somebody around you, you know, to try to influence or control somebody. So don't necessarily pray about that. Now, it's okay to pray, but that's not the big prayer I'm talking about. To pray in the Spirit. Lord, would you give me an opportunity to share your faith? Does God want you to share your faith? Does he want us to make disciples of all nations, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Yes or no? Yes. Does he want the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Yes or no? So you pray for that. Pray big. Pray big. But I want you to think of one big thing. One big thing that you are asking God for today. Because here's my challenge. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You don't need to do this, but if you're saying, let's do an adventure with Jesus together this week, Andrew. Let's do an adventure with Jesus together this week, Columbia Grove. I'm going to suit up, and I'm going to pray big. And then I'm looking forward to hearing some stories. Now, Thursday night, we've got a Bible study group that meets here. We're going to be taking some time with that connection group to share some stories. I want to challenge our other connection groups this week to give at least 5 minutes when you gather to talk about your suit up and big, and, you know, pray big challenge, just how you are experiencing God, youth ministry, children's ministry, men's ministry, women's ministry, suit up, pray big. And so if that's you and you're like, challenge accepted, I am in, let's do this. What I want to ask you to do in just a moment, if that's you, because I need you to do something bold, because if you're going to pray bold, you got to start with something bold. I'm going to ask you to stand up. You don't need to stand up if that's not something you don't want to do. But if you're saying, challenge accepted, this week I'm going to suit up, I'm going to pray big, I'm going to have an adventure with Jesus, I'm going to see what he's going to do, I'm going to ask him for something that's bigger than me in my life, I want you to stand up. No shame if you don't want to, but I want you to stand up. So I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer as we close. And then I want you to take some time during that prayer to ask God for your big, bold thing. Challenge accepted. Okay? Let's pray. God, thank you that you arm us for battle. Thank you, God, that you prepare us to make a difference in this world in your name, to stand firm against the pressures that press against us, against the spiritual warfare that combats against our souls. So, Lord, this week, we're going to stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around our waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. We're going to stand firm with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Oh God, would you give us opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with somebody somewhere? We're going to take on the shield of faith. We're going to take on the helmet of salvation. We're going to take on the sword of the Spirit. Lord, help us to use what we know of God's word to apply it in our lives. And Lord, we are going to pray. And so, Lord, this week, I especially want to pray for, and this congregation, just under your breath, just name it before God. The big prayer that you're asking God for, just name it before God. Just under your breath or silently. Or whisper or yell it, I don't care. But name it before God. God, thank you that you can do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work in us. And so, God, to you be all the glory throughout all generations. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.